Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Big 12 champ. Big 12 champ. Big 12 champ. Rip me now. Big 12 champ.
Big 12 champ.
Big 12 champ.
Big 12 champ.
Want to just do this for 9 minutes?
Yeah.
That would be really funny.
Just loop it, Sean.
Radio station goes viral for saying Big 12 champs for 12 straight minutes. Symbolic, no? Big win for the Cougs last night, 69-61 in Lubbock over Texas Tech. In front of a hostile crowd of tortilla tossing battery chuckers.
Where were the tortillas last night?
That might just be a college football
thing. Oh, okay.
But they should make it a part of the college basketball things.
Yeah, but I think it's more of an injury risk in college basketball. Like you could more easily slip on a
tortilla. Oh, yeah.
Like slip on a tortilla.
A tortilla to the face.
Yeah, because yeah. You can throw it and you can like hit someone on the court with it. Where in football, like just from where you're sitting, you can't really hit anybody with
it.
They do,
they got pads on.
And they have pads.
Yeah, the helmet would protect them. But yes, theoretically, a guy could be running down the court
and just slip on a tortilla.
A wooden basketball court. And yeah, they slip on the tortilla. You play that sound effect in the background. Slips, falls on their ass. Back of their head hits the court. Brain spillage all over the place. Or, theoretically, it could also just hit them right in the face. And, you know, basketball players in 2025, unless they're on the Cougs, might be soft, flop, try to draw a call. Might get a call, honestly.
Well, I feel like if you get hit in the face with a tortilla, like...
Is that a technical foul?
Yeah, I think so, on the fans.
Flagrant
yeah,
two on
the
like fans?
It's like when you throw stuff on the court, like they at least stop the game.
Yeah, but we learned from Texas that if you throw things on the court, things get overturned.
Texas is fine. Texas,
yeah.
Well, it's Joe, SEC bias.
Joe, there might be a different set of rules that some teams play with.
Mm, it's true.
There you go. There you go.
HTX Hobo Girl says it's only for football. So
that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I get it.
Because like it would be the tip, because they do it at the kickoff. So they would tip it off. You throw your tortillas. The game immediately has to stop. Like in football, there is a stoppage naturally in between the kickoff and the first play. In basketball, it just kind of starts. The game just starts. So
during a TV timeout, it should be acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that'd be fine. There's
threw stuff on the court when Texas played last time. They throw stuff on the court there.
This was a nice win, no doubt about it. Not a nice. This was a great win for the Cougs, even with Texas Tech down a couple of guys. I do think it is worth mentioning after the game that even though the Cougs saw all those T-shirts, that clearly Texas Tech, they didn't hand out. This was probably some student who put together some T-shirts very quickly and was selling them outside the stadium. An entrepreneur, Red Raider, shout out to that person. I hope they made a nice little cut from that. But after the game, I thought it was noteworthy that the Cougs players were very respectful and that Kelvin Sampson also was very deferential to Texas Tech. And it's clear, I think, that they look at the Red Raiders as a potential obstacle in the Big 12 tournament, if not in the actual NCAA tournament. But it was funny to see that after seeing those T-shirts that were being worn by Tech fans throughout the arena with the title Toughest Team Wins, that's the caption, and a picture of Grant McCasland and JT Toppin after they were both ejected from that Cougs Tech game at the beginning of February. Somehow that got into the Cougs locker room. They saw that and it was noted. The disrespect was noted.
What if Texas Tech wrote it there themselves? just like before the game, just as a message. Toughest team wins.
I don't think they did that, but if they had, that would have been a very poor choice.
But I like the little clap back. You got to have that sometimes. You can't, like, if they're going to say the toughest team wins and then you win, then you get to say it back. It was a fun game last night. It looked like a great environment. And yeah, there was players missing, like you said, from the last two Cougs wins. It doesn't matter. Like, they proved again last night to me that they have the roster to make a deep run this year.
Think about it from this perspective, too. You just beat two top 10 teams 2 days apart. One of them was on the road. I mean, that's a more difficult test than the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you're going to be playing in front of a largely neutral crowd. And you're playing one of those games on the road in this situation. What are the odds that you're going to play back-to-back games a day apart, two top 10 teams in all the land, not just seeds that we're talking about?
No, you have
very
to,
low. Like this yeah. is probably this two-game stretch that they won both games of, and obviously had some help because neither team was 100%. But that is more difficult than any weekend they'll have in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 tournament will
outside
be the
of maybe the Final Four.
The Big 12 tournament will be kind of the same thing, where like you'll play some of the better teams in college basketball in theory towards the back end of it. But like you look at like Joe Lenardi's bracketology right now. He's got Houston versus Montana in the first round, and then playing the winner of Mississippi State and San Diego State. So like while San Diego State's had good programs in the past, and like people want to clamor out the SEC, so like we'll see what Mississippi State would be all about. But yeah, this is the tough stretch for the team, and it's why it's impressive to not just these two games, but again, to be at least have some share of the Big 12 title 2 years in a row in a conference that's littered with good basketball teams, even the teams that have down years this year. It's a really talented basketball conference. Like it's totally worth celebrating winning this 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and after the game, the Cougars, specifically Kelvin Sampson and to a degree Emmanuel Sharpe. Emmanuel Sharpe was excited to win the Big 12. They've been saying Big 12 champs, I guess, as a chant all year long, even after the 4-3 start. And he said, hey, look, we've shown some resilience. We get to celebrate this a little bit. But Kelvin Sampson said, as far as celebrating, outside of dancing, now we've won a few conference championships. We'll celebrate when the time comes. If you're a Coug fan, celebrate like it's another trip to the Final Four today. Maybe not tomorrow, but today. You get this day. You get carte blanche to talk bleep to anybody. But I like that the Cougs are showing a little bit of perspective here because while they have been incredibly successful since Kelvin Sampson took over, what they have to show for it is the Final Four appearance and not necessarily disappointing season ends, but like March has not been kind to them.
I would say disappointing, at least the last like 2 years, because we're all kind of waiting for the Cougs to take the next step. And it is, it's fun to celebrate this stuff, but if it wasn't as challenging as it was to win a conference, like I think we would look at it differently, their lack of major success. But they're the closest team in Houston to winning a championship. They are really the only team that I feel confident winning one in the next 2 years, even if it's not this year, because of the coach and what he brings to the team. So it would be disappointing if they don't get to at least the Elite Eight, I feel like.
Yeah, year. That's fair. And look, losing to Miami was disappointing a couple of years ago. I think last year with Shed getting hurt.
Yeah, it just ends sour.
Yeah.
More than disappointing.
Because that game, I mean, they still were hanging around despite Shed being out. But when Shed left, did anyone really think that they were going to win? No matter how tough the team was, it was so difficult for them to do anything the rest of that game.
Yeah.
And sadly, Larry and Stafford couldn't come off the bench for Jamal Shedd. Like he said he could have, but he didn't. And we'll never know, I guess, what the Cougs could have done in that game. Yeah. Alas. For those who don't know, a very loud sports radio caller, who I believe had a few drinks that night, just given the way he was tweeting, he said that he would have actually stayed in that game, that Jamal Shedd had to leave with a high ankle sprain.
Had he been Jamal Shedd. Mm-hmm. No way he was going to be out of that game.
He thinks that he has the dog in him that Jamal Shedd didn't in that moment. And while I have no issue with Larry, I was like, Larry, bro, if you did that, your ankle would snap. You're not in the shape that you maybe were when you think you were an athlete.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the reference that I was just bringing up there.
Speaking of shape, how's football this week?
Our game was canceled last night.
Soft.
Apparently, the fields were unplayable. And honestly, as someone who has played on those fields after rain, I don't disagree.
Okay.
Those fields are rough. And Saturday was brutal because for those who don't know, I'm on the poultry auction committee as part of the rodeo. It's my first year in it. I have no idea what I'm doing. Just smiling and being pretty and trying to figure out how to raise money for the kids. I'll post links at some point if you want to help, you know, raise money for scholarships across the Houston area. But we were out there and it was so cold and the truck was a little bit late getting there. And the rain, it was like 35 degrees and monsooning. Like not snow, it was just heavy, heavy, heavy rain. And so from what I understand, on Saturday, all day, we spent the day painting tables.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, that all that time we spent painting tables, the tables had to be repainted the next
day.
Oh. Real frustrating.
That sucks, dude.
Real frustrating. It was a frustrating weekend. We're supposed to hang out with Woodlands Girl on Saturday. Knew that wasn't going to happen. And I spent the whole day up to that painting tables in the freezing cold rain. So, yeah.
I think freezing cold rain is the worst weather.
It's terrible.
At least snow,
it slows down a little bit. No, this was
just, and you don't get
brutal, drenched
from snow.
Right. And I'm lucky that I have this coat that I've been wearing that I hadn't worn in like 10 years that I used to wear at Syracuse when it was cold out. This is this thick coat and it's waterproof. Thank God I had that. But I was the only person who had like something that was legitimately both warm and waterproof. Because some people had warm and some people had waterproof.
But they didn't have both.
But no one had both. So I was doing stuff in the rain that they weren't willing to do because I was like, well, I'm the only person that's actually geared up for this. So
yeah.
I can do this for you. Yeah, it was brutal. Brutal couple of days, Joe. Brutal couple of days.
That sound great.
Got back on the apps. Was supposed to have a date tonight. That's already been canceled.
That's disappointing. Huh?
Bro, you just can't win. You just can't win sometimes.
I mean, it's rodeo season, though. Is that a good time? Is that a good dating time? Like, at the rodeo?
Drop a, hey, poultry action.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good dating
time. I don't know, like take someone to the rodeo? Feels like that's a good date.
I don't know, but people have already slid in the DMs asking about the tickets that I have to, you know, cook-off tent. And you just want me for my ticket? You just want me for that? That's it? That's all I am? A piece of meat with a ticket? Well, that's it?
Hopefully, the cook-off is the meat.
Yeah. You think you're better than me?
Hopefully these ladies that are sliding in the DMs, you know.
No, one.
They want more than just the ticket.
Anyway, I'm sorry I go a little bit too long talking to being self-indulgent here. But the marathon girl saw me posting about it, and I think she's expecting an invite. Do I invite her is the real question. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in.
I'm not sure. I'm having a hard time keeping up.
I'm not either because every single time I think she's out, she sends a message. And I'm like, okay, I guess you're still interested. I don't really know. All I know is that T-Bone's Karaoke on Saturday night. Shout out to my guy Javier who came up to me after I sang One Last Breath by Creed because I was debating taking my One Last Breath after the day canceled on Saturday. You know, it happens. It happens. Paul, you're being sarcastic and a little bit dark. Yes, that's how this show goes, okay? He's Joe and Paul. Sean is behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Coming up next on this fine radio program of ours, guess what, guys? You guessed what's coming up. You guessed it. We're going to have the age-old debate. Now that the Cougs have gone to Lubbock and have emerged conquering heroes, an age-old question must be answered. What's cooler, Lubbock or San Marcos, Texas, as far as partying? We have to answer this question because there's a hilarious story that came out of San Marcos this week. Stick around.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Cougs are at least shared Big 12 champs after last night's win over Texas Tech, 69-61. Hell yeah. Go Cougs. Seeing Lubbock, the fine sights of Lubbock on full display last night, you know, that riveting skyline is part of ESPN's slow zoom into the arena where the Red Raiders play. I mean, it was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that very sarcastically because I think anyone who has gone to school in Lubbock, you know exactly what it is. It is a party school because there is nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But I will say this about my Red Raider friends. They are very, very fun people. And I do think that the rubber match coming up in the Big 12 Big 12 tournament, we hope, between the Cougs and Tech ought to be a lot of fun. But Tech's a party school. And Texas State, which is the school that literally changed its effing name because of what a reputation it had. It used to be Southwestern Texas State. Now it's Texas State. They've been dealing with some stuff of late. This is a story from a couple of days ago, courtesy of Fox 4 News in North Texas. People who are at Texas State University from approximately 3 to 7 p.m. on February 14th, 2025, or at a Twin Peaks restaurant from 6 to 10 p.m. on that same day, you may be at risk of developing measles due to exposure. Now,
oh, fun.
We're not talking Raider rash or anything like that. We're talking about something a little more serious. I mean, this is some Oregon Trail stuff. Measles?
Yeah.
What's next, dysentery? All I know is that San Marcos, it's a fun place, and stuff like this can get around. I don't know what the version of the Raider rash would be in San Marcos. Is it the Bobcat blister? I don't know. something that would involve disgusting alliteration like that.
Bobcat boil.
Yeah, Bobcat boil.
That sounds even worse.
Bobcat bumps.
Ooh, yikes. So it's got me wondering, because both these schools have a bit of a reputation. I think it's a fun reputation. There's a reason I have a t-shirt for each of these schools. In solidarity with the fun that's there. What's the better place? What's the more fun place? I would lean towards San Marcos. I would lean towards there because it is close at the very least to civilization. No offense, Lubbock. No offense.
That's kind of where I would lean too, just because it just, Lubbock is, it just seems not fun to get there.
It's a bitch to get to.
Like if you had to, I can't imagine like taking like my dorm stuff up there and back at the end of a year. That would be terrible.
What is it, a 10-hour drive from here?
Something like that.
And if you fly, I mean, you still got to go an hour to the airport here, get there a couple hours early.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that it's probably a 2-hour flight to get to Lubbock, and you're probably going to be flying on one of those terrifying airlines that seems to be in hot water all the time these days, you know, really landing upside down.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Those 80-person planes are the ones I want no part of.
Well, and that's what the one at Midway today was. It
of
was,
course!
It was a Southwest flight coming down, and then it looked like it was like a private jet or a smaller plane not paying attention coming across before the Southwest one had to bump back up. But yeah, I think I'd rather do Texas State than Lubbock. I just couldn't imagine driving that far for school.
It is only an 8-hour, 19-minute drive from right here. I just put it in Google Maps. I put it in the basketball arena.
That's halfway to Chicago.
8-hour drive? 8.5-hour drive?
Chicago's only 16 hours. Like,
only?
Lubbock is 8 hours, like, to the middle of nowhere? Like, I couldn't imagine. Now I hope my kid never goes to Tech.
Probably be pretty cheap, though.
Unfortunately, it's probably not.
Why?
College is expensive everywhere you go, I feel like, these days.
Well, I mean, if you go to Texas Tech, you could be a landman, right?
Be a landman.
That's true.
I know a lot of Red Raiders who are landmen now. And
average cost after aid, $17,000.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
Now in 14 years, we'll see what it looks like. But
hey, we're going in the right direction again.
Hopefully.
I hope. Hopefully. Yeah. Okay, if I had to pick between the two, I do think a tech person just a little more trustworthy than a Texas State person. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, it's not like I've had bad experiences with Texas State people. I just think they're crazy. One of my good friends back in the day, now he's settled down. But when he wasn't settled down, this man was an absolute animal.
He was a wild child?
A person I dated who went to Texas State. I was scared of her. But I was so scared of her that I was in love with her. It was one of those situations, you know? One of those situations.
Yeah.
Texas State people scare me. In a good way, but sometimes that good way turns bad.
Now, Sean, you're going to know more.
Yes.
Than us.
I know several people that have gone to both of these schools. I've had a good time in San Marcos.
Okay.
I can speak from experience. Boots on the ground, from what I remember.
Boots on the ground.
From what you remember.
From what I remember.
That sounds good. That sounds like a positive.
Yes, yes. Two thumbs up on San Marcos. Also, you have the river that not just goes through the city, but goes through the town. It goes through the freaking campus.
Ooh.
So you can tube.
You can go tubing on campus?
Basically.
What? Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, no wonder it's such a party school.
I will say, though, as far as party schools go, I knew probably like 5 people that went to Tech. Well, only 3 of them, I would say, finished. Only 3 of them finished freshman year. So
wow.
So
it might be more dangerous up there.
Yeah. So, you know, I know a lot of Texas State people that finished the job.
From the 936, San Marcos is better. Well, there's measles there now, so you got to factor
in the Valentine's Day measles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I also like, but if you get measles at Twin Peaks on Valentine's Day, I think that's on you.
No.
Because like, even if you're
just looking for love, and maybe you couldn't find love, Joe. Maybe they were like me, single, hopelessly alone.
You can get
alone,
measles anywhere.
And you just wanted the comfort of a restaurant to, you know, nuzzle your head in to some wings. this texter continues. San Marcos goes to the river. Grins, Austin bars, nightlife. Lubbock is flat, smells like cow blue, poo. Dusty, windy, stale tortillas everywhere. Who's asking which is better, asks Eric the driver.
Hmm. They also have those, haboobs? Yeah, haboobs. I think that's a sandstorm where it basically just rains mud because there's a sandstorm as it's raining.
In Lubbock?
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm out.
Just mud goes flying. Basically, rains mud.
That's kind of sick, actually.
That's not fun.
It seems like something from Mad Max.
Play some Sandstorm by Eric Prince in the background. Let's have a rager outside in the mud. In the the mud-nado. A haboob. What a name.
I think that's
what it must have been come up. A Red Raider must have thought that up.
If it's not the name, it is not. Mud Storm.
Well, listen, Lubbock was conquered by the Cougs last night, but shout out to the fine people of Lubbock and the fine people of San Marcos, because it is people from Texas Tech and Texas State who make this state and this city a little bit more fun. Mm. We salute you. Real party college goers of genius and measles, if you're in Texas State.
Is the University of Houston a party school at all?
It does feel like there are so many different experiences for Cougs, because for some, it's a commuter school, and some do have the campus experience, but it's a weird campus because it's right in the middle of a city.
Yeah.
So does it really feel like a college? I wouldn't be able to speak to that. I'm sure people who actually went to the campus and stayed on campus would be able to tell you, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that saved a ton of money because they weren't paying for campus housing by going to the University of Houston.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think
college is a robbery. So, I mean, anyone who commuted, like, you missed out on probably a little bit more fun, but you're also probably more mature and successful at what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can kind of fall into buckets, or, you know, if you had to just put it into a bucket where it has to be one, I think it would fall into commuter school bucket more than party school bucket. But like you said, it's in the middle of Houston. Like, you could go to U of H and have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like you're just like going to Midtown.
Yes.
Like, we're like in Lubbock, you're going to a frat house that hasn't been cleaned in probably 10 years.
And like college bars are different than the bars here.
So. Yeah. Harder to get into here.
If we put a poll out, I would assume most people are saying right now that this is San Marcos in a landslide, and Paul, you're an idiot for bringing this up. Fine. Okay. I'm just asking the question. I saw, you know, the Cougs played Texas Tech, mm-hmm. and the San Marcos measles epidemic happened. Maybe it brings it down to Lubbock's level, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Not quite, though.
You have to eat at that Twin Peaks if you're choosing San Marcos. You have to risk measles.
As one does.
As one does.
I also loved how it was like, if you're on campus from 3 to 7, like, oh.
I know. That's a huge area.
Like, you couldn't, like, give me, like a building or two?
Was there, like, a Twin Peaks DoorDash driver, like, roaming around campus just coughing everywhere?
Well, or, like it was class? Like,
that's where he went to date, for his date, or where he went for his lady. Or maybe she worked at Twin Peaks.
That's
a gender, you know.
Yeah, that's probably more likely, is that it's a server at Twin Peaks, went to class, and spread it around class.
Spread it around.
Spread around measles. I'm sorry. Spread measles around class.
Okay.
Not well, you don't know.
Not Bobcat.
I don't know. I don't know what this, I'm assuming, fine young lady
guys,
did.
Guys, boil is a gross word.
Boil?
Yeah. It's a gross word.
Why is it a gross word?
It just sounds gross.
But, I mean, it's just a big, you know, boil.
Yeah, I know, but it's just gross.
It is.
A boil. A boil is also known as a furuncle. Want us to call it that, Joe?
No.
It's a painful, pus-filled bump that forms under the skin.
What is it called?
Furuncle.
A furuncle.
Furuncle?
Yeah. Boils are typically caused by an infection of the hair follicle by the bacteria Staphylococcus aureus.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. St. Marcus?
I'm sure you're. This is the doctor in the Glon family.
This bacteria is commonly found on the skin. It could enter the follicle through a small cut, abrasion, or ingrown hair. This is getting gross. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Glon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hits the ball well to right. The wind is blowing that way. Ramirez looking up. That ball's caught on the berm. Cam Smith, the top prospect for the Astros, goes opposite field for his first ever spring training home run.
Well, that's exciting to see right there. Smith driving in Matthews with a blast. That could be something we say quite a bit in the future.
Astros bang! Wait, Sean, what did you say?
I said swarm.
Oh. We're still in spring training mode. It's okay. We're ironing out the kinks, as they say. We're ironing out the kinks. Can't say the other term. Some people sometimes say the wrong word there. Like, there's a kink in the armor.
Oh, yeah.
There is a
bad brain moment.
What, ESPN.com headline writer that got fired during Linsanity.
Yeah.
Correct. Using the armor.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the low point of Linsanity, other than the Rockets signing him to that contract and us having to pretend that what happened in New York wasn't a mirage for a little bit, because much like there's very aggressive Alperen Şengün stance, who at least is a good basketball player, there are very aggressive Jeremy Lin stance. Sometimes sports and race intersect and leads to toxicity everywhere that you look. But no toxicity right there, because Cam Smith, Astros super prospect, I think he just made the opening day roster. And I know a thing or two about baseball.
Baseball Paul.
Who's the guy? I don't even remember who the guy was that left. That guy. Who's the guy that he played third?
Correa?
He was here a while. Yeah, was Correa there?
I think so.
I remember when Alex Rodriguez played third base because Derek Jeter. So, yeah. I think it was Correa's third baseman. I don't know. I'm just a casual baseball fan. But, Cam Smith. Don't even remember Kyle Tucker, let alone the other guy whose name is just deluding me. I can't think of his name. Is it something? Last name ended with man. What was it? Berkman? Was it Lance Berkman?
He did leave.
Lance Berkman did leave. Not in the Hall of Fame either. Controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I guess we'll never know.
Cam Smith ripped that thing. Mm. It was a laser beam to right field.
Mm. And you heard Jeff Blum say, Bryce Matthews is on.
Mm.
Is this the future of the Astros? Is this the beginning of something special?
Window open? Opening?
The window has opened up so hard.
The future is now.
Oh, I got a huge window open in my pants. What?
Should probably zipper that up.
Well, that's what the zipper's for, right? By the way, someone over the weekend on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
This keeps on happening to me. When I sing karaoke,
My fly falls down.
This has happened twice this year. Someone told me.
How are they correlated?
I don't know.
I think it's just the passion.
Yeah.
As he's singing Creed as loud as he possibly can.
In the pants tent as I sing.
the fly.
You're supposed to sing from your diaphragm, Paul.
Yeah. I sing from the power source, I guess. The source of life, if you will. Anyway, this is a family program, as you guys can tell. We're closer and closer to the Astros getting the regular season started on March 27th. Also, there's a lot of Dallas Cowboys things that we have to dive into. I feel like it is the perfect time for another hit segment, Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Let's go. The Dallas Cowboys are at the NFL Combine. Imagine you're a Cowboys fan. You've heard from Jerry Jones how Cowboys fans, the idea that it's been a long time since they've won a title is something that Cowboys ownership has honestly made fun of by talking about it in quotation marks. Stephen Jones was asked if he's actually listening to Cowboys fans this offseason at the Combine. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
These NFL fans, though, that specifically this offseason want to see you guys be more aggressive.
We're going to look at everything we can. We're going to be selectively aggressive. We obviously, you know, there's things in this league you have to, you know, you have certain amount of resources they allow you to have. And, you know, we'll look at that. But we're going to try to improve our football team. Not try, we're going to improve our football team. And, you know, we expect to have success next year.
What the hell is selectively aggressive?
I mean,
that doesn't mean aggressive. That means that you might do something, but you probably won't.
It's I mean, remember last year they said they were going all in and then they did nothing. The only thing they brought back last year was Zeke. They didn't sign Derrick Henry, they didn't sign any big free agent, and now they're saying they're gonna be selectively aggressive.
Selectively aggressive is the cop out of all cop outs. That's what I do whenever I'm pussing out at the bar and not going up to people and talking to them to try and find another wife.
Mm-hmm. You're just, I mean, selective.
That's what you could say. Like, that's the kind of defense that somebody at the bar who never does anything can say. I'm being selectively aggressive. Oh, so you're just honestly being chicken bleep and hoping for the absolute best possible circumstance to drop right into your lap? Like, I'm calling myself out here, but selective aggression, what an F you again to Cowboys fans.
Yeah, I also don't think their new coach, Brian Schottenheimer, like, screams aggressive in terms of, like, bringing a coach in.
Selectively aggressive. I could see Brian Schottenheimer being selectively aggressive. Occasionally on third and long, they won't run a draw play.
Maybe that's what they mean. Hey, we're going to go for it on fourth down once every 12 times.
It's
be selectively aggressive.
Listen, the Mavericks have, thankfully for the Cowboys, stolen a lot of thunder away.
Yeah.
Stephen Jones, right before that answer he gave, was actually asked, like, so when you see Mavericks fans frustrated, how do you feel? And he dodged the question. But it was really amusing to hear him get asked about the Mavericks. Oh, I got a lot of respect for Cuban, blah, 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 the Adelsteins, whoever the hell is the team now. It was very interesting. Playing with the Boys, the segment where we talk about the Dallas Cowboys for the ratings. So Micah Parsons says there's, quote, definitely a plan in place for a second contract since he's scheduled to make $24 million against the cap on the last year of his rookie deal this year. He wants the Cowboys to be aggressive this offseason. Even though he thought the Cowboys were a damn good football team on his podcast, he said that after the Texans killed them. Which is funny because even though he thinks the Cowboys were a damn good football team last year, he doesn't think that Derrick Henry would have helped them because there's only so much that Derrick Henry could have done. So he's contradicted himself.
Yeah, but
it's just these three stories, like, two times.
If you're a damn good football team, adding Derrick Henry makes you a much better football team. They didn't win any game. I mean, Dak was terrible this year.
Well, let's just try to do Micah Parsons' math here.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys were a damn good football team last year. but he wants them to be aggressive, even though last year he doesn't think being aggressive with Derrick Henry would have helped them.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. That sounds like about 7 wins.
It sounds like a bad podcaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Micah Parsons tweeted this out because I think he was getting crushed by some of the Speak for Your Pizza shows for his podcast. LOL, I wonder, do people hate my podcast because it's actually good or do people hate it because it's bad? Because hella people in the NBA and NFL have podcasts that don't have a problem.
I mean, I think people have a problem with like half the podcasters. I think you have to be on a good team for people to not care.
Yes.
Like if you're on a bad team, then people care.
Yes.
I mean, like, the Philadelphia 76ers have lost 8 games. They were down by 50 points last night by the Bulls, and Paul George has dropped a podcast today. Like, what are you doing?
Gotta keep your fans like with the content that they have signed up for free.
Insane behavior, but like,
he's gotta pay MeUndies.
Yeah.
And Sherry's Berries.
You gotta be on a good team. Like J.J. Redick used to do that. His podcast, like, whether he was with, like, The Ringer or when he was, like, with Odyssey, like, he would just quit his podcast in the middle of the season if things weren't going well. Oh. Because he knew, he's like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, the guys who are constantly going out there and still podcasting when their team's losing, I guess good for them, but that's why people don't like your podcast, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, you can't lose and have a podcast. Yeah. You just can't. So, but also, Parsons, you need to write down what you said. Like you're coming across as if you already have CTE, because if you are saying all of those things that directly contradict each other within a couple of months, We got to know where you stand. You're not entertaining enough to like say a lot of stupid things and for people to look the other way, you know?
And he wanted them to keep Mike McCarthy. We forgot that one, too.
Right, exactly. Bad radio done professionally, same thing as bad podcasting done professionally. There's a market for that. I wouldn't exist otherwise. Micah Parsons has got to figure out how to do it professionally. And someone needs to write down his takes so that he remembers everything he's saying.
He needs that one producer from Unsportsmanlike.
They called out Chris Candy.
Who called out Chris Candy about where he had Jalen Hurts ranked.
By the way, at least Parsons at least has an endearing quality to him that Chris Candy certainly does not. My God, Chris Candy. It's a disservice to our boys on the Blitz. Like some of that stuff's pulling out of your keister, big dog. Anyway, let's keep going. Playing with the boys. Oh, boy, it's really rough for Cowboys fans out there. CeeDee Lamb said that Eagles fans are more passionate than Cowboys fans. Yikes.
He's probably right, but it's tough to say that.
Here he is.
Who has a more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
I can answer that.
Eagles.
Eagles?
They're crazy. Our Cowboys, our fans are deep, but they not. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but the Eagles got it.
Yeah, but you said it. You still said it. You shouldn't have said that.
I think he should have. I think he should have.
It's tough to call your own fans that way.
I think he's right, though.
I think he's right, too.
He's just answering the question honestly.
Yeah. You stand by your boys.
Well, but I mean, like, listen. Cowboy fan numero uno, Skip Bayless, is doing stuff like this, where in a video he posted straight to Twitter, standing in front of some strange, elaborate cowboy-colored painting, wearing jeans, a Cowboys jersey, and brilliant white sneakers, Skip Bayless changed into a Philadelphia Eagles jersey and did this.
What do you think? Fly, Eagles, fly. It's your fault, Jerry Jones. You made me do this. I even got the shoes to match. You like it?
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.
This is such a strange video.
It is. Everything that
it's
he
posts. It's so strange.
He's become a little more unhinged now that he no longer has a Speak for Your Pizza-esque show.
I think he's unraveling a little bit.
I like it, though.
But then there's this lawsuit coming around still.
I totally forgot about that. I want to see Skip Bayless go full Alex Jones. You are not tethered.
I don't think we're that far.
By traditional media anymore. I need him to really lose it. He's not quite there, but he's on the path.
See, for a second I thought this was like a lost bet. I saw only like a short clip of it at first, but Seems like he really just is like, maybe he's done with the Cowboys.
He might be. Couple more things in this rousing edition of playing with the boys. The new Cowboys offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams. I'm not going to lie. If there's anything to get excited about this offseason, it's this guy because he's dropped this line.
What do you want your offensive lineman?
The same thing that I want from every player on offense, and that is to create violence in the game, be aggressive, run, hit. I think that every decision that we make schematically needs to lean that direction. So if there's gray area, what is going to keep the, what is going to allow these guys to play more free and run and hit and be violent?
Violence.
Yeah, that sends the right message.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're a Cowboys fan, at least you got one thing you like to hear this year.
Yeah, that kind of violence, not the kind of violence that Jerry Jones is accused of committing. But guess what? Jerry Jones, he at least has had the civil assault lawsuit against him delayed. It was supposed to begin March 3rd. It will now not begin until August 11th. Jerry Jones, per this lawsuit, a woman alleged that Jones kissed her on the mouth and forcibly grabbed her without her consent during a Cowboys game September 16th, 2018. This lawsuit was filed in 2020. He does not recall meeting the woman. He might be onto something there because I don't think Jerry Jones is remembering much of anything these days.
No, it takes that long to get your case heard? 5 years?
Except for his lines in Landman. Yeah.
I'm still not sure he had lines.
I think that was straight from the heart.
Really?
I think they just...
Go out there and riff, Jerry.
I'm not totally sure Jerry knew he was acting. Like,
this is like his defense.
Like, it's just like, hey, like, Jerry, there's this guy in the hospital. He's a Landman.
He looks a lot like John Hamm.
I need you to go talk to him. Give him a pep talk. Billy Bob Thornton's going to be there, so just, like, call him Billy. But, like,
love it.
It's just they're friends.
Did Cam Smith just hit another home run?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know, Jim. We're gonna have to double check on that. But before we do that, let's get a little garbage time before we get out of here. Cam Smith!
He went deep again.
Cam Smith! Who's the third baseman again? I don't remember. Garbage time, me baby. Let's go.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Two home runs for Cam Smith. How about that? That's good, exciting.
It's a good start.
I wonder if there's even a slight percentage chance of him making the opening day roster.
Yes.
You heard it from Joe.
Why not?
Yeah, slight percentage.
But, like, okay, their outfield sucks. They know it sucks. Now, he's playing third base, but they're willing to move Paredes to second for Alex Bregman. They're willing to move Paredes to second for Nolan Arenado. You just traded Kyle Tucker for this guy. So, like, why wouldn't you move Paredes to second for Cam Smith? So, if he's going to hit like this, why not?
And they shut up Bloss and Loperfido through the minors last year.
He might not make opening day, but...
June 1st?
If he has to play that quickly, it means things have gone poorly. But he also just couldn't do his job.
Poorly for the Astros or really well for Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Dana Brown puts guys out there, and I don't think he necessarily puts them out there just because things go bad or because of injury. I mean, we did see a lot of it last year because of injury, but he's aggressive putting the young guys out there. So perhaps there is a more than 2% chance of seeing Cam Smith this year.
Yeah, I think that's like, it's like 5% or something like that he plays.
More likely the Asteroid in 2032 or Cam Smith by June 1st.
Oh, I'll say Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, but okay. Close.
I would say Cam Smith and Bryce Matthews over the Asteroid right now.
All right, let's go.
Wow.
One can play second, one can play right.
Nice. In garbage time, I was wondering where I put this. This really bums me out. $31 million of meth have been seized in Houston. Damn it.
How much?
How am I going to pay the bills?
That's where it went.
$31 million of meth.
What is it? That's a lot of meth.
You should see the picture.
This photo is crazy.
The picture that is posted of this meth that was seized from a Houston area stash house is a lot of meth. 625 kilograms of crystal meth.
It looks like a bunker from like a World War I movie.
It truly does. Like all those sandbags that you would see on the front lines of World War I, for sure.
That's so much. It's like up to, for people listening, it's up to a guy's chest.
By the way, it seems that not a single Houston or Harris County law enforcement agency was involved in this seizure. But it was seized, $31 million of meth. So at the very least, it was taken off of the street.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, it's good.
Hell yeah. I don't care who gets credit, as long as it's off the street.
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed out that they took it from my house, but hey, at least I'm not facing any charges. And on that note,
see where Paul's at.
See if Paul gets arrested on his way out of the stadium station. Yeah, listen, I've gone the next 3 days, so
will Paul be in jail?
Paul get arrested for claiming that he owed $31 million of meth that were seized?
It's Harris County Jail here. Paul Gallant calling.
What if I call it like, hey, that's actually mine. Can I have some of it back?
Can I get a refund?
Got some bills to pay.
I have rights, you know.
Yeah. Property rights, damn it. It's mine. All right, and on that note, thank you guys for tuning in for today's edition of Gallant and George. Shout out to our Big 12 champion Cougs. And shout out to Cam Smith with 2 home runs today. For our texters, callers, Twitchers, YouTubers, and everyone else who listened, for Sean Mapes behind the glass, for Joe George to my right, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. I will be back on Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.